Point 12. A standard for standards, the AICP test. This test can be very useful for critically analyzing a paper or even writing one of your own. Point A. The A in AICP is arbitrary. And subpoint 1, mere opinion. Point 2, relativism. True for you, but not for me. There are no absolutes. Point 3, prejudicial conjecture. We don't know what was originally written. Point 4, unargued philosophical bias. Miracles are impossible. So we ask the question, how do you know miracles are impossible? What kind of mental resources are necessary to make such claims? What is the foundation of such claims? See Prisoners in Nature's Box. B. Inconsistent. Point 1. Logical fallacies. Point 2. Behavioral inconsistency. Point 3. Presuppositional tensions. Example, a man thinks child abusers should be punished, but helps his girlfriend get an abortion. C is consequences. Point 1, if I believe this and therefore act it out, where will I end up? A tree is known by its fruit. Reductio ad absurdum, reduced to absurdity. What is the logical conclusion? D, preconditions for intelligibility. How can we account for these? 1. Laws of logic, language, and rational debate. 2. Uniformity of nature, causality, induction. 3. Absolute morality. 4. Basic reliability of senses and memory. 5. Personal dignity and freedom. 6. Transcendentals. So the application of all of these are the four big questions originally constructed by Ravi Zacharias: origin, destiny, meaning, morality. Are all of these answered individually well, and are they collectively coherent? This is consistency. Does the origin story justify the answer? This is a precondition for intelligibility. Prejudicial conjecture. How do we know some monk in the Middle Ages didn't write the Bible? First off, the person throwing this out has obviously done no homework on the subject. By the time the Middle Ages rolled around, there were already many manuscripts buried in the desert sands. Like many other speculations about the Bible, these people demonstrate their ignorance and prejudice as though it was brilliant insight. See Matthew 6:23. Second, if there was no Bible, why would there be monks? Which came first, the Bible or the monk? Question, which worldview makes human experience intelligible or meaningful? The don't answer, answer strategy, an apologetic conversation. The biblical fool is someone that is foolish in his use of reason and action. Proverbs 26:4 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him." So if we try to use the fool's methodology, we become like him. We must voice our disagreement. The response is something like this: I disagree with your statement, but... And then Proverbs 26:5, answer a fool according as his folly deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes. We can't just walk away agreeing to disagree or nothing has really changed. The response is something like this: I disagree with your statement, but for the sake of argument, let's suppose what you are saying is true. What is the outcome? Where does it lead? Is it coherent? Is it absurd? Using logical conclusion and reducing to the absurd and the impossibility of the contrary, we show that the fool's ideas lead to absurdity, inconsistency, incoherence, or worse. The supposed divine dilemma. This comes from Epicurus, who lived 341 to 270 BC, and it's called the Epicurean Paradox. And it goes like this. Is God willing to prevent evil, but not able? Then he is not omnipotent. Is God able, but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is God neither willing nor able? Then why call him God? Is God both willing and able? Then whence comes evil? The assumptions are numerous. See how many you can find. Also note that Epicurus knows about God. He lists several of his divine attributes, but remains unbelieving. Can you answer his final question? This is the most common objection against God in all of history. However, as William Lane Craig rightly challenges, how could the atheist, skeptic, or anyone else know that God would not, if he existed, permit evil and suffering in the world? After all, it is not impossible that God would have reasons for it. Craig argues that God's purpose for human history might be to bring the maximum number of people freely into his kingdom to find salvation and eternal life, which requires the existence of evil and suffering. This is found at https://jamesbishopblog.com/2016/06/27, answering the Epicurus dilemma. Common problems from George Smith and Gordon Stein in their debates with Greg Bahnsen. Number one, definitions matter. Smith and Stein define atheism as finding evidence lacking, which is contrary to regular use. Number two, faith and reason stand against each other. Faith goes beyond reason rather than faith being the foundation of reason. Augustine said, I believe that I may understand. Three, self-deception in varying degrees of sophistication. Four, no reason to be rational. People should be rational for the sake of human good. But why? Abstract concepts. Where do these come from? 6. Uniformity of nature. Why is it so? 7. Origin of life. Scientific or philosophical? Who knows? But evolution is true. Really? Why? Somebody puts up the statement, nobody can know anything for sure. That's just your opinion. But we know you Christians are wrong. So you can ask back, how do you know that nobody can know anything for sure? How do you know that Christians are wrong? How do you know what is right and wrong? Where does the standard that you are using come from? Isn't that just your opinion? At least we Christians have a solid foundation for our opinion, the Almighty Creator God of the Bible. Number 13, some different worldviews. Number one, monism. All of reality is one thing. That's what monism means. All of reality is one thing. A, there's spiritual monism, which is Hinduism and its derivatives. There are no distinctions. It is immaterial and it is pantheistic. B, material monism, which is atheistic. Chemistry and physics. Atomistic. There's an infinite number of particles moving in space. Reality is nothing more than atoms and forces interacting with each other. And the subpoints under material monism is A, deterministic. There is no free will. And one under deterministic is hedonistic. We live for pleasure. Quantity versus quality. Behavioralistic. All behavior is the product of stimulus and response. Marxist, which is dialectical materialism. all of history fits into this model. B, free will. One, egoism, to live for pleasure. Again, quantity versus quality. That's self-centered. Utilitarianism, what makes the most people happy, which is supposed to be socialistic. Three, existentialism, define for oneself what he is or will be. And then C, nobody can know for sure. And one is pragmatism, live for solving problems. It's what works. Philosophy doesn't matter, ideas don't matter. If it works, use it. Pragmatism. Two, skepticism. And there's two types of skeptics. One are the sophists, and they master arguments to win debates. Truth is irrelevant. It's kind of like much of lawyering today is that the purpose of a lawyer is to win the case, to get his client off. Which leads to the second one, which are the cynics. That is pretty cynical about lawyers. Cynicism is all reality is a pretense. It's anti-establishment, it's anti-everything. Doesn't matter what happens, they're cynical about it. In opposition to monism, there is dualism, that all of reality is two things, matter and spirit, time and space, and something outside. And underneath that, there are two basic ideas. One is idealism, which was developed by Plato, and it's intuitional. We can't really know what's out there, but we have certain intuitions about how things are. And B is moralistic. Chief proponent there would be Confucius. Duty, the Stoics. Submission is everything, that we are to submit to the moral standards around us. The above overview reflects the natural man's attempts to understand the world around him apart from God because he has rejected the correct starting point. Because he is lacking the correct starting point, a variety of competing ideas vie for his attention. Some are insightful, others are observant with logical conclusions, while still others are just plain goofy. This fragmentation of ideas only gets worse as time rolls on. Consensus is increasingly impossible except where united against Christ. And you can see this on YouTube and TikTok all over the place with all kinds of strange ideas. Christianity is generally dualistic in that we understand that reality is made up of the material and the spiritual, and that there is an integrated interaction between them. The two are not separate islands, but in a profound relationship, and Jesus is Lord of all. Number 14, apologetic methods. Each of these arenas of apologetics has a different set of tools and methods, and as will be outlined below, each has its own starting point.